How many have heard that song before? I think it's quite prophetic. I thank God for Jen Johnson and the prophetic gift that God has given her. The reason we played that song is not necessarily because it's a singable song. It's really tough to sing, but I believe it's a prophetic call to us, isn't it? To come to Jesus. I want to speak briefly just into this word stretch. Laura, thank you for your word. I think it's very appropriate for just where we're going today. The word for the year, even before I heard any kind of sermon that challenging communities of faith to discern what God's word for them is for that year, we've been kind of hearing that this has been our word, stretch. It's taken out of Isaiah 54, verse 2, and it says, "Make a large area for your tent. Spread out its curtains. Go ahead and make your tent wider. Make its ropes longer. Drive the stakes down deeper." The word stretch. We preached this early in the fall. We began the series, and we really had no idea to the extent of kind of the prophetic word that it was for many of you. But following that message, a number of you have been periodically coming to me and saying, you know, that is my word. That was the sermon for the year for me. And it just kind of sent you on this new trajectory of trust and faith and kind of embracing all that God has for you around a certain area. We listened and watched Sam and Andre embark on this mini tour across Canada. And I quoted a line from one of their songs. "I want to go as far as I can go to be free. I want to sail as far as I can sail to reach my dreams." It's this no holds barred kind of attitude. Going after all that God has for you. To be free. To reach my dreams. I don't know if Sam and Andre would call themselves theologians. But they are theologians par excellence when they wrote this song. Because they know, somehow intuitively, that they grow the best when they're on the move. That we grow the best when we're on the move. Taking risks. Facing fears. Going for it. Because it's in these situations that we learn God's faithfulness. I mean, we've said this before time and time again. The Christianity wasn't meant to be lived safe on the shore, but in the deep end. If we want a safe religion, so to speak, Christianity wouldn't be that. Tell Nadarkhani that, right? He didn't abandon Islam for Jesus because Christianity somehow is safer. It's scary. The idea of this God that is totally good but is not safe is a scary idea. We like maybe the thought of it, but when it comes to the rubber hits the road where we live our lives, it's tough, isn't it? God calling you to places where you have to trust like you've never trusted before. How many of you would consider yourselves to be risk takers? That's kind of your personality. You take risks. How many of you, just be honest, and this is not one better than the other, how many of you would say, no, I'm not a risk taker. I'm not learning how to snowboard at age 45. Okay? You know, we need both in the body because some of us take foolish risks and we need others to temper us. We need both of us in the body. But it just goes to show that not every one of us is comfortable with taking risks. Yet Jesus calls us to take risks. But risk for you might look different than risk for somebody else, right? But we're still called to take risks. Richard Rohr says this about his critique of the Western Church. in the book Wild Man to Wise Man. He says this: in contrast to this, most Christians' faith experience consists of going to church, doing the right activities. I have a hunch that many are into religion, church practices, or pious activities, but not really into following the actual path Christ asks us to walk. Then he asks this: you know who I see growing the most in their faith? It's those who are coming up against stuff outside of church, people who are wrestling with internal issues, facing their own demons head on, putting themselves in places where they're seeing and confronting the dark underbelly of society, injustices, hardness in society, some evil in the world, inflexibility or lack of reconciliation in the church. It's actually getting out of our comfort zone and going after that which God is calling us to. And he says, those are the people that are actually growing. He runs these men's retreats, and he says, for the most part, the men who are not facing these issues outside of the retreat, when they come to the retreat, they gain nothing. The Word of God isn't alive because they don't need it. They're not a place of desperation. When we are, with God's help, going after these things, it seems that we become more willing to listen and engage because we're truly hungry. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O Lord. And I'm not just saying this just because we might be going through some kind of crisis or making hard decisions. That we're growing, stretching, allowing God to use us. That just because hard things are happening in our lives, that automatically, yeah, we're being stretched. You know, there's a lot of folks, I don't know if you know them, who are going through a difficult time, but it's actually not making them better. It's actually making them harder. It's making them more bitter. So it's not actually the hardship, because many go through hardship. It's what are we doing in the hardship? Are we seeing God in the hardship? Is the stretch, is the circumstance that we're in actually moving us towards God, or is it driving us away? I think we want to go through spiritual crisis and come out of it, not just survive it. Whew, got through that one. But actually grow. Actually come out of it somewhat changed. More aware, more humble, more soft. Like the life of David. You think of David facing crisis after crisis when being chased by Saul. And he grew as a result. Somehow it seems that he became more soft, more supple in God's hands. Even in his sin with Bathsheba, it became a spiritual crisis for him. But he came out of it a better man, more humble, more open to rebuke. He was a man who said, I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me. The walls of pride didn't go higher, didn't go thicker. He actually allowed God to use it in his life. I agree again with Richard Rohr. He says, if we only think about Jesus, believe Jesus, and believe things about Jesus, not much is going to happen. It is the risk of acting like Jesus acted that reconfigures our soul. We are converted by new experiences and circumstances much more than by new ideas. Or as I like to say, we do not think ourselves into new ways of living. We live ourselves into new ways of thinking. Reality and circumstances, unavoidable circumstances, are normally what convert us. Would you agree with that? Yeah. Some of you are nodding. Some of you are going, Jim says no. He says you believe first. Yeah, it's both things. Yeah. It's not either or, it's both and. Yeah. This is what I think God is getting at through this stretch that we're talking about, the stuff that God is calling us to press into. For some of us, it means stuff that we are called to obey. The stuff that God seems to be throwing our way. And and he kind of throws it our way, and it's kind of an experiment on God's part. I wonder what they're going to do with that. And I think it's that kind of stuff in combination with the sermons and the teachings and the stuff we're reading. It's those two things together. We were never meant to just get sermons and then that's it, and think that that's somehow going to grow us. Right? It's meant to be both. I look back on the times in my life where I grew the most. I look back on my life when I was a new believer in 1981 when I was baptized. I was going through hell. Family was terrible. There was all kinds of hard things happening, but man, I was growing. When I think about Kenda and I moving to Squamish 7 years ago, oh man, it was a white-knuckle ride. All you can do is pray, right? And I feel like we're at that place again. I feel like God is calling us to stretch. You know, the verse, stretch your tent curtains wide and pull the curtains. And I mean, it's an interesting passage, but I think it hurts to do that. Don't you? It pulls at the seams, doesn't it? Tent pegs pop. Ropes are stretched beyond limit. But yet God calls us, stretch them. Some of you maybe don't relate to the tenting image. Maybe you relate to the stretching image. And I've been learning a stretch. There's three guys, Jody and Tim and I were talking about a stretch the other day. And Lori Broker has been teaching us. She's a chiropractor in town. She's been teaching some of us some stretches. Some of us guys need to move in new directions, you know, and the older we get, the more unflexible we become. And I think that's true for us spiritually as well. I've been learning some stretches, and as I do those stretches, I feel heat. Blood rushing to areas of my back that I don't think have ever experienced that kind of blood flow. Stretches are good. And I wonder sometimes if, as a body, when I'm not stretching, how does that affect the whole body? When you're not stretching and you're not being all that God calls you to be, how does that affect the whole body? How does that impact the whole body of Christ? I wonder sometimes if our lack of stretch sometimes has a lot to do with the dryness in our spiritual lives. In the book Rabbi Zacharias entitled, Has Christianity Failed You? Interesting, the title was not, Has Christ Failed You? It's, Has Christianity Failed You? And he says this, the assurance of God's nearness comes at a cost, just as is true of any relationship of love and commitment. Of 37 years that my wife and I have been married, the three most difficult years of our marriage were those during which I set aside my calling. At the request of my denominational leadership, took up a seminary professorship as my principal contribution to the work of the church. Going against my inner calling was difficult. And in the end, I realized that when one is outside the will of God, one's other commitments can also be put at risk, and one's most important relationships can become dry and lifeless. And this is really good. To be at the place where God wants you is indispensable to enjoying the blessings that God offers. Indispensable. Goes to show that not being willing to stretch not only affects me, but it affects my spouse, it affects my kids, it affects the broader community, doesn't it? Being willing to look at things that we don't necessarily want to look straight in the face, head on, taking risks, has an effect. Just been taking a number of conflict resolution courses. There's a few of us that took a peacemaker course, helping us understand our conflict style. And just a few days ago, I took another one. It just seems that there's this theme. And even in that, it tells us that, you know, in my passivity of not wanting to look at my own stuff and how I avoid conflict actually affects everybody. Right? So it's not just a spiritual truth. It affects every part of our lives. The things that I avoid affects others. A number of months ago, I shared a story of a guy named John Muir, this explorer who used to climb Douglas fir trees in the midst of storms because he believed in creator confrontations instead of creature comforts, not hiding in a nice, cozy, safe cabin until the storm just goes away, but putting on your boots and getting out of the storm, facing your fears and climbing the tree, because that's where you're going to meet God face to face. That image keeps coming back to me as I think about stretch. That's why people go on spiritual pilgrimages. When they left home, they grew. When I left Abbotsford, I grew. The Word of God somehow comes alive. It all becomes way more real. Not only do I believe that God has a word for us as a church, but likely He has a word for you. And for many of you, it has been this word, stretch. I'm going to just highlight just a few people in our community that I think are stretching and what that means for the rest of us, and then I'm going to open up the floor to hear from you. Some of you asked the question today, why is there no worship team? We didn't have a worship team today because Stuart and Donna, who have faithfully led us in worship, how many years now? 3-4 years? Have resigned. They want to take a break. They want to take some time to attend to their own soul and to just clear the table and listen to what God is saying to them. And we want to honor that. So when I hear that from them and I go, yes, I believe that God is saying something to you. And for us as a church, it's far more important that we care for people's hearts than it is for us to have all the ducks in a row. You know what I mean? But here's the deal. When people respond to God's stretch, and that's got to be difficult for them, right? Is it difficult? All kinds of things. We're letting people down, and all, who knows what comes to your mind and heart, but you take a step of faith and you press into that. But how is that going to affect us? Well, it causes us to stretch, doesn't it? Even you being here today and engaging in worship through just a CD, that is a stretch for some of you. Some of you are going, I want a team. How come there's no team? Right? And we miss the team, but it forces us to stretch. It forces us to dig in deeper. For some of us, it might mean, hey, maybe it's my turn. So I see you guys stretching. A couple of weeks ago, I saw a number of you stretch as it concerns your time and your money. As we helped a single mom, some of you have been burdened by this situation and circumstance with this single mom who has not been able to complete her floor. Her house is just in shambles because she's working 6 jobs, trying to make ends meet, can't keep up to maintenance on her home. And so we went in, we helped her buy what she needed to get her floor done, and she anticipated that we were coming in there to do her floor. Well, not only did we do her floor, but we pressure washed her house, we fixed her shed, we reinforced her shed, we put new siding on her shed, we fixed all the holes in her shed, and we fixed fences and hung gates, and we just blitzed her home, pressure washed decks. And she came home the next day, the Monday. I went there to kind of do the homes on homes walkthrough of what we did to her home. And in tears, she opened the door and she said, okay, not only did you do my floor, but then she named every one of the things that we did. Blown away. Your participation in that, you stretching and giving of your time and your money to make that possible, has forced her to stretch in her idea of God. She cannot think about God the same way that she always has. Do you see how your stretching has caused her to stretch? A neighbor then comes across the street, sees all the activity. We have a relationship with her, and she says to us, what's happening here? I was drawn to this place. And as I shared the story with her, it now forces her to rethink God and church. Right? Blew them out of the water. They cannot think about these things the same way that they always have. Your stretching will immediately cause a chain reaction to happen and cause someone else to stretch. Another example of some stretching, and I don't want to steal your thunder, Matt, because maybe you will share some of this, but you know the sergeants are leaving mid-April. They're going to school, and Matt's going to school in Portland. He's resigned from Quest. We'll have to pray for Quest because I think the school will fall apart without Matt being the glue. Matt's been one of the most faithful people that I know. Here, day in, day out, every citywide, I think he's only missed one in 6 years. Setting up, doing sound, never complaining. Sometimes doing three things at once. He's doing sound and he's getting ready to teach and he's helping train girls in PowerPoint. And he does it with such an amazing attitude. Matt has been such a blessing to us as a church and to me. And already I feel this stretch, right? God, what are we going to do? And there's no one that's really going to fill the hole. But we are so delighted to see how God is stretching that young couple, Matt and Mandy, and how God is going to further use them for his kingdom. But it's going to force us, some of us, to stretch, isn't it? Who's going to do sound? Well, we're trusting that God's going to fill that hole. But them obeying God and saying, yes, we will obey you in the stretch, whatever that looks like, is going to force some of us to stretch. This last week, Sam and I were having a staff meeting. I know Sam has been working through some real tension this last month. I really began to see it. Maybe God used the fact that I asked her a question to open up a can of worms, but I asked her how her heart was, because I heard of an admin assistant from Church on 99 that resigned because she couldn't engage in worship. That she was always felt like she was on every Sunday. And I said, you know what, I should ask Sam how she's doing and how her heart is. Well, she began to share. And then I think the next staff meeting, you shared some more. And then you shared some more. And I remember after one of those staff meetings, I said to Kenda, I think Sam's going to resign. And she did. Sam is one of the most creative girls I know. We knew when she took on this position that she would be stretched into doing some things that don't come naturally to her. And she does them amazingly well for someone who's not gifted in those areas of crunching numbers and holding, you know, keeping the books together. But we also have seen some things begin to emerge in Sam, prophetic. And we want to see those things emerge. We also want to see her creative gifts emerge. And when she comes here, she's not able to be all that God has called her to be. Almost like that Rabbi Zacharias story. She's doing the stuff for the church, but meanwhile she feels like she's kind of, there's something going on in her soul that she's kind of dying. And so it's more important for me to see Sam healthy and pursuing her dream and what God calls her to be than me having an admin assistant that's keeping my life together. But that's going to be a stretch. That's going to be a stretch for me. It's going to be a stretch for us. So what am I saying? I think there's some big stretching going on. And it's going to force some of us to stretch. And I know many of you have kind of dove into that. And what that means for you is very significant. I've heard some of your stories. And I think it would be good for the body to hear some of what's been going on for you. So I want to open up the floor. I don't know if I didn't talk to Jim about this, but maybe Jim can take the mic, and if you have something to share, just put up your hand, and let's keep it to 2 to 3 minutes, and it might be talking about your own stretch and what that looks like, but it might also be in response to someone. So if you've heard of a story already in what I've said and you want to affirm and you want to speak into that, then feel free to do that. This is, let's just see where the Spirit leads us, all right?